Hi, this is David Perez. This is the latest episode of The Buzz, the podcast of Taos Hive. And today I am speaking with Lynn Skoll, who is the director of the Cuesta Economic Development Fund. And we are here in the Cuesta Visitor Center where she has an office. And in our discussion before we even started this podcast, she wears a lot of hats. They have a lot of exciting stuff here going on in this beautiful Cuesta community. So let's roll, Lynn. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And so tell us however you want to start and as much detail as you want to go into all the things that the Cuesta Economic Development Fund does.
Okay. Well, do we have like 2 days or
2 days? Yes, okay, exactly. Okay. Unlimited with this little recorder.
So the Cuesta Economic Development Fund was created when the Chevron mine closed permanently, and our mission is to help the Cuesta area economy move into a diverse and sustainable economy not reliant on mining. Mm. So Chevron does fund us with some operating money each year, but that's about, I would say, about a third of the revenue that we work with. We get a lot of grants, and we are a 501c3. And we have, like you said, I wear a lot of hats, so we have a lot of projects in the works.
And this happened when? When would the mine close?
The mine closed, and QEDF was established in 2008 in anticipation of the mine closing
okay.
in 2014. So the mine closed, and actually they're really one of the biggest employers still here in Cuesta because they are doing reclamation of the mine site. And so they have half a dozen contractors that they work with and a couple hundred employees that are out there every day putting the mine, putting the mountain back to the way it was is kind of the bottom line.
Right.
They've done, Chevron's been a tremendous partner. So the mine was started in the early 1900s, like 1904, somewhere around there. So after 100 years of operation, it was the driving force for the economy in Cuesta, in the Cuesta area, and everybody worked at the mine. And when it closed, it was very apparent that something had to be done in order to help this community stay sustainable. So the community leaders got together with Chevron and created the Cuesta Economic Development Fund. And with our mission, we do a lot of different things related to economic development. You know, creating jobs is what most people think of, but
right.
if you don't have healthcare, education, workforce development, housing, you can't have jobs.
Absolutely.
If you don't have a strong foundation for those jobs. And so a lot of the things that we're doing, we partner with Hive. And we have many, many good partners in the community and the region. So I guess I'll start with the Cuesta Business Bridge, since they're one of the partners that we work, that's one of our projects that works closely with the Hive.
Okay.
And the Cuesta Business Bridge connects the community to business resources, services, and training. And it is located at the Cuesta Library.
Okay.
So the Cuesta Library is a tremendous community resource.
Oh, it's beautiful. And they just, in the last few years, right, they had a whole renovation.
Yeah. Expansion.
Expansion. Yeah.
And unfortunately, this past January, they had a pipe freeze. And so they're closed doing some cleanup right now.
Oh, no.
But I think that's going to be fine because they're going to get back on board. But the Cuesta Business Bridge was created to provide training for the community. The Hive does an amazing job of all of your, you know, the workshops and the sessions that you offer with mentoring
right.
and technology. But it's a long way for us to go.
Absolutely.
It's like about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And after working all day, a lot of our people just aren't going to be able to make that trip. So we work real closely with Rose Reza. And a lot of what we do at the Cuesta Business Bridge is partnering with Hive and sharing some of the learning. We've had, up until the library had this flood, we've been doing weekly trainings around entrepreneurship, workforce development, the creative economy, and all of the classes that we offer are free, and we have local experts coming in and teaching them, QuickBooks, finances, everything.
Right, and with technology changing so often, it might be, okay, now we have to learn this, and here's a new software, or here's a new app, or a new set of skills that are in high demand, and maybe we need to at least, get a foot in the door.
Absolutely. And we even have somebody that comes in once a month and basically does training for any of your technology questions. Bring in your iPhone and we'll show you how to use it.
Oh, sweet.
So, you know, it's like everybody, technology changes so fast, we're trying to keep up with that.
Right.
And the Hive is starting their new incubator program, Pollinator, in March. And so we're working with Seth Williams from the Hive. And we're going to be live streaming that to the Cuesta Business Bridge at the library. Mm. And in conjunction with that, we are creating a, I'm calling it the Cuesta Business Bridge GPS Pathway Series. And GPS stands for Goal Setting, Planning, and Planning for Success. It's for entrepreneurs to participate in this program. And what we want them to do is do the eight-week series with the Hive and the incubator and the labs. And each week, of course, there'll be a different focus, digital marketing, accounting.
Right.
And at the end of the 8 week, anybody from Cuesta, and I can only offer this to people in Cuesta, we're going to have a pitch contest. And we're going to bring in funders and we're going to provide funding to some of our entrepreneurs and businesses.
Wow.
And so, so it's a great opportunity for both of the Hive and for the QEDF and the Business Bridge to really help entrepreneurs and to enable them to have a reward at the end that's even greater than knowing they have a solid business plan.
So how do you, you've been doing this a while, how do you let the community know about these? I mean, I'm sure you have your old mailing list, the library has their contact list, and any other organizations have their, okay, I'll share it on my email, I'll do this, I'll do that. Is that generally, or do you also go out in the community, go visit different businesses and say, hey, this is happening, I just want you to know, here's a flyer. Yep. I mean, is that part of...
We do it all.
You do it all, yeah.
So one of the other projects that we are very proud of is we have a 32-page paper that comes out monthly. It's called the Cuesta Del Rio News, and it's a free publication. It goes in all the PO boxes in the greater Cuesta area from El Rito and Costilla down to San Cristobal, and it's distributed throughout some locations in Taos as well. We're trying to expand our distribution, but we put information in the paper. The paper has a dynamic website, and like the Taos News, when we have breaking news, we put it on our website. We're only monthly, and there's a lot of information that comes out in that monthly paper, but we're also including information on our website when it's happening. Mm-hmm. And we just actually had the Library of Congress reach out to us and say they were really impressed with our website and the coverage that we're doing of our historic cultural and heritage, and they've asked us if they can catalog our website at the Library of Congress.
Now, isn't that sweet?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, when it happens, like out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
You know, and recognition of the work and that they get it. You know, like how do you even become aware of it that this is happening? I mean, they must have just a huge...
Yeah, and we were so honored. And so knowing that they're very interested in our cultural heritage, that's a big part of what we make sure is covered in our website and on our paper. So that's one way we get the word out.
Okay.
I do an email blast that goes out to over 300 different emails, businesses, and partners. And that'll go out twice a month or three times a month, depending on what's happening. And we promote the activities, the training, the events, the public meetings, things that are happening in the community so that they're getting it in their email, they're getting it online, they're getting it in the paper, and there's a big calendar of events that's in the paper and on our website. And so.
So you're really the hub in many ways. I mean, just.
You know, I kind of think of ourselves as like the chamber of commerce for Cuesta, because we do a lot of chamber activities with networking and supporting the businesses. We do economic development. One of the big projects that we're working with Kit Carson on right now and the Village of Cuesta is green hydrogen. They just, you probably.
I've heard of Michaela. Yeah, she said it's a very exciting project that's in the works. Yeah.
And they've just gotten a very large grant, $263 million, to create a green hydrogen production facility in Cuesta. And working with the Pueblos and Taos also. So, you know, we're doing it all, from economic development with green hydrogen to a newspaper that tells about where you can get your taxes done for free. I mean, everything in between.
Right, right. And like you said, Lynn, there's so many different parts to it. There's the education aspect in terms of, well, okay, what training are the youth getting, and what kind of teachers do we have there, and what support do they need, and or things that we can sort of cross-pollinate and work together. And the housing, well, if people are going to work housing, here, where are they going to live, and all the layers of that, and there's a wild river. It's like, okay, we want to, you know, let you know about the natural beauty because we want to attract people to this part of Taos, and here's what Cuesta has to offer, and there's that whole tourism angle, so to speak.
Of course.
So I could see it, you know, like one hat, almost wearing multi hats at the same time.
Right.
You know, because you're fielding one phone call or one request or whatever.
It's like a big sombrero with lots of things hanging off of it, and I just spin it to decide which one I'm going to work on at the time.
And so what's your history, Lynn? How did this happen for you?
You know, it's really interesting. I have a very diverse background. I have a marketing and advertising degree. Communications. I did a lot of marketing, and we moved to Breckenridge, Colorado in the early 90s. My husband works at the Taos Ski Valley, so we entrenched ourselves in the skiing community in Summit County, and I became a chamber director. So I moved from marketing to chamber work, and so I was working as a chamber director for about 8 years.
The Taos Chamber of Commerce.
No, in Summit County Chamber of Commerce in Colorado.
Oh, okay, they're still there.
I was living
in
Breckenridge.
Still there. Okay,
in
gotcha.
Frisco, in that area. Yes, I am on the Taos Chamber board, though. I have been on the board because I love my chamber work, and I love that is a great board. It's a great organization.
Yeah.
And when I decided I wanted to do something different, I ended up getting a job with Keystone Resort selling conferences. So they have 100,000 square feet of meeting space, and it's a very large resort, and it's part of Vail Resorts. And I traveled the country selling conferences, you know, multi-million dollar conferences. And that was really fun and such a beautiful location. It was, anyway. When my husband, we have two boys, they're grown, and when they both were out of college and it was just my husband and I again, we were like, well, what are we going to do next? And before we could even think about what that answer was, he got a call from Taos Ski Valley, who had just been purchased by Lewis Bacon, and the general manager that was at the time, Gordon Briner. He had hired my husband in the early 90s at Keystone when he was working at Keystone, Gordon was. And now Gordon was the general manager at Taos Ski Valley and hired Bert to be the ski school director at Taos Ski Valley. So we made the move in 2016. And when I moved here, I was the director of sales for El Monte Sagrado. I was the director of sales for El Monte Sagrado for about 4 years, and decided I would just go off and do my own consulting work, just something different. And my predecessor, Lindsay Mapes, who had my job as the director of the Cuesta Economic Development Fund, she was somebody I knew through the chamber. And I was just networking with everybody I knew to say, hey, I'm doing this new thing. If you need me to write any articles, or if you need some marketing done, or you want me to help you with your wedding plans, you know, I was consulting.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I'm changing my role, but you'd be great for the position. And I'm like, huh, Cuesta, And when I read the job description, I'm like, well, it's like all my chamber work. It's like all my sales work. It's like my
communication work. And it all came together. Yeah.
And it all came together. And, you know, I was a little trepidatious, I think is the word, as a blonde, blue-eyed gringo coming into a predominantly Hispanic community.
But did you live in Cuesta? Or?
We live in El Prado.
You still live in El Prado.
We still live in El Prado. And, you know, I knew that I was going into a situation that had a lot of history.
People
had been hurt by the mine closing, and they wanted help, but they wanted it on their own terms. And so I came in, and I think I did it the right way. I came in and I asked questions. What is it you want? What do you need? How can I help? And I didn't come in with any preconceived notions of what I was going to do. I just was wide open. And ironically, my job started in January of 2020. And then in March, the COVID shut everything down. And I didn't even know people here. I was trying to meet people through Zoom and online because you couldn't meet in face-to-face.
Of course.
So we did. We made it work.
Yeah, so literally trial by fire in so many ways.
Yes, and this community has so much heart and so much depth and has so many good people. And I have fallen in love with everything about it. And I still am learning. The families have been here for generations, and six generations. The church that was remodeled in 2006, the wall collapsed, it took them 8 years. They did it, the community came together and did it on their own. The same families that volunteered to rebuild the church are the same families that originally built it in the 1880s.
Wow.
And that's the kind of place this is.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of passion for Cuesta, and people that come here, they don't want to leave.
Right.
So that's kind of a long story, but what we're working on is when the kids from the high school, when they go to college or they go off to do their next thing, we want them to be able to have the opportunity to stay here if they want. To have the opportunity to live in Cuesta, but not necessarily with their parents.
Or want to come back.
And a lot of people are coming back.
And that's when coming back to what and how.
Right.
Because sometimes it is a good experience if you're going to study abroad or go to a different college.
Right.
I mean, that's always, I do for myself. I always travel, absolutely. If you had the opportunity, take it while you can.
Right.
But it's nice. And I think in Taos County as a whole, there's that phenomenon where many people might go away for college or they feel like, you know, for a multitude of reasons and then come back and also sometimes come back for family, come back for the pace. They sort of seen the big city or got this other kind of opportunity and then they want to get back to their roots. Mm-hmm. But that begs the question then for what? What are you going to do?
Right.
In your life, and so how do you see and maybe we refer to this a little bit with the work with Hive, the role of technology, because it's one thing about having the tools where you can then work remotely, or you happen to live in Cuesta, but your job is out, not just serving Cuesta, but you know, serving the world as a whole, because that technology can connect you in so many ways. So is that a big component in terms of even the training? That's why we want to learn all these different stuff about what basic computer support, so that we have that. So it has that kind of multi-layered, the role of technology and the work that you do both. And yeah, I guess, Lynn, you as in some ways, I'm not sure if this will be right, that you have to know a little bit about everything.
Yes, I call myself a generalist.
Yes.
I don't know everything, but I know a little bit about everything, and I know who does know about the things that you need.
Yeah, and that's important.
And I'm a connector, so I connect people to the resources.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And the technology is so important. When we created the Business Bridge, we actually got a grant from the state, and we brought in a couple of new computer stations. We bought a commercial grade copier. because those are, that's technology at its basic level that the community mm-hmm. didn't have access to. They had some computers there, they did have some, but this gave them state-of-the-art computer systems.
Right.
And then my predecessor and the school worked together and we created a welding lab at the high school.
Oh,
along
cool.
with partnership with LANL and UNM and Chevron, the Lohr Foundation. And so, you know, we're really trying to make sure that the technology is very prevalent. And during COVID, Kit Carson was amazing about coming in and making sure that everybody had some access to the internet
mm-hmm.
because they were doing the learning from home.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad for the kids because, you know, now they don't get any snow days. When it snows and stuff, they just have to work from home, go to school from home, remote.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But the technology piece, you know, it's always about capacity. How many, we want to make sure that we have the ability to offer opportunities. And one of them was the coding league that Hive put together. And
right.
We tried to launch that here. And it started out strong, but capacity was really stretched. We didn't have the people to make sure that it could stay offered.
Meaning the instructors or just the equipment or?
No, the instructors.
Yeah.
It was just more than we had the ability to manage for the coach.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but that's a lot of what we run into is, you know, how do we make sure that the things that need to get done can get done with the resources that we have.
Yeah, and you know, Lynn, it's, you can see the challenge that to start and then keep it going if it expands, and then mm-hmm. how do you deal with maybe like disappointment? Oh, this was so great, this is so cool. Oh, it's not happening anymore. And then you feel like, oh, gee, I wish I can, but it's that never ending, right. You know, shifting and coding is one element, and then it might be something else that
right.
would then become a big spark and everybody's happy, and then you go, oh, can we keep this instructor going on, and do we have to pay them, and how does right. that work in terms of how the grants and financial support that we get and how it's allocated and what are the priorities, and the priorities shift. So it's rewarding and challenging, and
right.
and as you said, I think one thing you mentioned, Lynn, I think it's so well to emphasize for everybody listening to this podcast and thinking about their own business, their own career, their own community, is the art of listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you really listen to the community and get a sense? And even I feel in technology is honoring those that, you know, I don't know, that's not how I roll. I want to go back to analog. I want to go just... Mm-hmm. I want to make it do with this. And then if you have a big agricultural community, it's like, you know, technology means to me maybe something that will go into the plow.
Right.
Or something with that these new gadgets that the tractor now uses in terms of measuring. And that's it. That's my technology. You
right.
know, I'll go to a computer because I check email because my daughter says I need to have a smartphone, but I'm old school.
Right.
And you got families, as you mentioned, who've been here generations, you know, it's kicking and screaming, you know.
There's a lot of people I know who don't even have email addresses.
Yeah.
And that's why the paper being a hard copy is so essential.
Yeah.
Because it gets put right into the post office box and then they can be kept up to date.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Technology is, I mean, it's part of everything and everybody uses it in such different ways.
Yeah. And you know, a little tidbit is what I mentioned before we started the discussion that I worked in the bookstore. And
yes.
That's how I know Alberto, who
yes.
works here at the visitor center, and to this day, the bookstore uses DOS.
Oh, wow.
Pre-Windows, and has a matrix printer.
Wow. They still do?
Still do,
wow.
To this day. Yeah, yeah, you go with using the F keys, and the computer monitor has the green lettering.
Well, that's probably hard to train. That's crazy.
40 years, and the owner, who had passed, it was originally called Moby Dickens, never did email.
Yeah,
ever.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, there's that yeah. element, and there's yeah. something, I don't know, nice about it.
Yeah.
In certain is. Ways. I mean, and it's the balance. Of course, we want people to have the skills and the opportunity and the options.
Right.
You know, just like you should learn how to drive, whether you drive a lot, but
sure.
it becomes a necessary life skill and survival skill in many ways. So
yeah, and one of the things that we're doing right now is we're doing a business retention and expansion program. So it's a fancy economic development lingo, but basically we got another grant from the state, and we hired Monique Parker to help us with our business retention and expansion program. And what that basically means is that we've been meeting one-on-one with many of the businesses throughout the community and going into a deeper dive. You know, like anytime I'm in a business, I am buying whatever I'm buying, and I'll talk to the people and ask how they're doing, but it's all very like, you know, if you know of a grant that can get me this, let me know. And I'm like, okay, make a note. But what we're doing is sitting down for a couple hours with each business, and we're finding out where their strengths are and where their obstacles are to growth. And of course, you know, workforce is a tough one for everybody.
Sure.
Housing is a tough one. But we're able to actually provide them with the resources that can help them take the next step. Sending them to the Hive for the opportunities that you offer, letting them know about this GPS Pathways entrepreneurship program.
Right.
So again, we're trying to get out in the community, and you know, getting back to the technology piece, is everybody's needs are different. Some businesses don't have a website, and that's fine because that works for them. They
right.
get word of mouth. Dominic Apodaca, that just bought the grocery store a year ago, he just ordered new cash registers. So having a really up-to-date POS system
right.
is going to be really critical for him. It's going to save time, and it's going to be efficient in his bookkeeping. So, you know, and one of the girls that came in the other day, she says, I just need a spreadsheet class. So, you know, it's on the docket. So everybody has what they need, and we're trying to make sure that we're meeting all these different needs where they are.
Right, right.
And spreading the word about where they can get that help. If it's not from us, it's from the Hive, it's from UNM.
Right, sure.
Anwar at the Small Business Development Center. Yeah.
Sure, the library. It could be...
The library, yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Or just something that happens to be in Red River, and so, you know, it's not too far away right. if you want to travel, or... Upper Costillo, Amalia.
Yep.
So you have mentioned all these different hats. Is there any other part of, you mentioned the business and the newspaper. Is there any other thing that you want to mention before we wrap up that you do? Was that in terms of the organizations? Or I know you have your notebook there with all these color tabs.
Yeah, no. You know, we're sitting in the visitor center. Tourism is a piece that we are focusing on because of our amazing recreation here and our amazing culture, the fishing.
Right, sure.
And we work with the state on doing the New Mexico True Cooperative Advertising every year. And one of the things is we want to bring in more people to take advantage of our natural resources, being our hiking trails. We actually got another grant from the state, working on a couple of trails through the Trails Plus program, the Cuesta to Red River Trail. We just did mapping in Largo Canyon. But what we're really sensitive to is to make sure that we're not changing the heart and soul of Cuesta. We really want to make sure that
right.
what people come here to experience is still what they're going to get. And we don't want to get gentrified. And, you know, it happens so quickly, and your eyes are wide open, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, how did we get here? We want to make sure that we're paying really close attention so that we can maintain the heritage, the culture, you know, respecting the lives of the people that live right. here, and making it so that they can still thrive but hold on to what makes Cuesta so special.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I know that's very wise, Lynn, because, you know, the paving it with good intentions, but sometimes it doesn't end up that way, but it's good intentions, and there's so many factors, and, you know, it's just, you sort of have to be prepared, and sometimes you have to repivot.
Right.
Based on whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to, you know, you were saying about just listening to the community, and, you know, and we're always learning, and our interactions, you know, help us learn, and how can we best serve this community, and right. just looking at stuff with a new angle and a new set of glasses that were sort of tainted before, because you know now we know, oh, I never considered this part of the ecology or something.
Right.
So where are the, let's remind people about the website where they can go to get all the information, and is there a phone number that people can call?
Yeah, so we actually have two websites, and the one I'm going to give first is the thequestonnews.com, because that one has all of our information on it about what's in the newspaper, what's happening in the community, in our calendar of events. Okay. It's listing all the local meetings. So thequestonnews.com.
Okay.
And our Facebook, Questa News Facebook, is also linked on that website. And so you can get lots of information there.
Okay.
VisitQuesta.com is VisitQuesta.com is our tourism-facing website. And so that's for anybody that's interested in learning about, you know, what restaurants do we have, and how can we, where the hiking trails are, and when's the visitor center open. And so on that website right now, there's a section on the far right tab that says business and community. And so people that are looking to open businesses here, they can go there and get information of all the resources we've talked about today.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So what is the best piece of advice that you've gotten, and who gave it to you?
Oh, gosh. best piece of advice. Well, one of my philosophies, and I don't know who gave this to me, is something along the lines of, if you don't know, ask. It doesn't hurt to ask, because you're not going to be any worse off than you were before if they say no. So I'm always asking for help, for resources, asking people to, you know, let us know what they need, and seeing how we can get that for them.
Yeah.
And just really working with everybody in the best way that we can.
Yeah, that's great. That's what my wife says. Just ask.
Just ask.
Especially for guys, you know.
If you get a no, you're not any worse off. But it's amazing how far you can go with that.
And Lynn, what is your favorite verb?
Favorite verb? I'm going to say love. I have a lot of them floating around, but they all come back to that. You got to love what you're doing. You got to love the community you're in. You got to love that passion has to be coming from the heart. It has to be true.
Sure.
And without the strength of family, community, and all the things that create that love on so many levels, nothing can get done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Great. Yep.